Good morning. This is Stephen Warren Hill, author of Red, White, and Who, programming director of Chicago TARDIS. You are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Too much scrolling for November 26, 2019. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Turkey Tom.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. Yes, Chip, you're right. This week is Thanksgiving. Finally, the latest that Thanksgiving can possibly be.
Well, you know, I hope I'm early, Steve. I mean, it is Tuesday, and I've got a couple days to get there.
You got to get to Grandma's house.
Well, over the river and through the woods.
That's what the GPS says.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. You got a chance to see Ford versus Ferrari.
Steve, this of course stars Bruce Wayne as our driver.
Right.
And also Matt Damon.
Matt Damon, who's always just played Matt Damon in every movie that you've seen him in. And Christian Bale, who, yes, was at one point Bruce Wayne. This is not the Ben Affleck and Matt Damon movie, which would be different.
Not the Lego Batman either.
Right.
No, no. All right, so this stars Matt Damon as Carroll Shelby. Many of us are aware of the Shelby Cobra Mustangs from many, many years ago. He has been a person who takes and builds race cars. And his historic information is that he was able to win Le Mans. And in fact, he helped Ford Motor Company build and put together the racing team that was able to defeat Ferrari. I think it was 4 out of 5 years, if I was not mistaken in that. So anyway, the driver Christian Bale plays is Ken Miles. Ken Miles is a British guy, Christian gets to play him, who certainly is... Well, kind of, to be a race car driver, which you quickly learn, you got to kind of be out there a little bit. You have to be a person that likes danger. And it's a little bit different than an astronaut. You know, an astronaut's got to be almost as be a soldier in many ways, who is also adventurous. Certainly similar, maybe stock, but maybe a different approach, because most of us could put together some money to put together a race car. What we end up learning is that Ford wants to compete. The cars certainly are not selling the way they wanted to. They certainly have lost their identity. Where Henry Ford the First was able to put together the assembly line production and was able to build a car that was for the everyman. You know, 1 year salary should be able to buy an automobile. Well, Ford is kind of just not doing it right now. People are not choosing Fords, and they're trying to find a different way to appeal. And NASCAR at that time, which is the auto racing, was very regional, southern part of the U.S. So they wanted something that would appeal more national and international, and a race like Le Mans was able to do that. The rivalry with Ferrari started with attempt to purchase Ferrari, who was in financial downturn. That fell through, and so the idea was to go find a person who can put together a race team. This is a lovely picture. I don't think it's anything that's Oscar worthy or anything like that, but it was pretty good. I think that it was a very male audience, and it was full when I saw it.
Is the story about the race or is the story about the people?
It is about the people.
Okay.
So Carroll Shelby is an entrepreneur. He is trying to build fast cars for people. He's struggling, like many entrepreneurs do, with cash flow. And, having someone come in like Ford, who's got this incredible check, it basically gave him an open checkbook. If you can win, you can do whatever you want to do.
Okay.
But also what we end up learning is corporations have many, many, many layers. And those decisions have to go through different people who have competing interests. And so this idea of, you know, do you go work for a corporation where certainly your ideas may have some merit, but certainly get lost in the shuffle? Or do you remain this independent entrepreneur, but, you know,
struggle to get the cash to get those ideas off the ground?
Yeah. And in fact, that plays out throughout the entire show. And in fact, what we ended up happening was Carol Shelby's first car was not performing particularly well. Henry Ford II calls him into his office and says, "Why shouldn't I fire you?" Well, before he got into that office, Carol Shelby sitting in the office, kind of just observing. And what he basically observed was, listen, for a piece of mail to get to you, it's got to go at least four people in this office to get to you. He goes, I need you to get rid of these layers. I need to be, it's just me and you, and I'll tell you what we need to do to win this race. Well, that kind of plays out, but of course, as with all corporations, it doesn't play out the way they want him to. And we eventually have the end of Le Mans, which, you know, not a spoiler, but he does win. Ford wins with Shelby's work. But ultimately, what you find out is there were some compromises being made there. Wow, what a poor way of using corporate governance. I found myself understanding why I am an entrepreneur and I'm independent, but at the same time, you realize the power these corporations have and how they can tip the scales in the benefit of the corporation. It is a fascinating story. I don't want to think anybody thinks business is bad or anything like that. You see the challenges of big corporations, and you see the thrill of racing and what it means to be a race car driver.
Okay. So on your chip scale from 0 to 100?
I would say 60.
Okay.
It sounds, you know, most of the movies that I'm talking about seem to have that same rating.
Yeah.
What that means is they're good enough, but there's nothing really there that's sparking that's so unique and original.
Okay. So this is a good movie. You would suggest it to most people who have an interest in learning about people and a little bit about cars?
Sure. The car part is fascinating, but really it's about people.
Okay. I got a chance to see, or revisit, I should say.
Let's revisit this, Steve.
The classic Thanksgiving movie. When you think of Thanksgiving, I don't know that there is a more classic tale of Thanksgiving than Planes, Trains, and Automobiles from 1987.
Well, it was a long, long time ago, Steve. And so what I'm interested in hearing is, does this film hold up?
It really does. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, for those of you who don't remember, or maybe you've never seen this movie, it's the story of two salesmen who are trying to get home for that holiday, for that family togetherness holiday that is Thanksgiving. And they come from two very different backgrounds. A very corporate sales kinds of person.
Very refined.
Very refined, got all the right suits and hats. And then that schlubby, you know, independent, on his own, trying to make a sale, desperate to make a sale, salesman. And they come together and they find a way to reach their goals.
So are you saying that John Candy's doing his best Chris Farley?
Farley, yeah. Could you imagine? Oh, the imagination goes to a place where this movie could be remade with Farley instead of John Candy.
The Force Ghost of Chris Farley.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, so this is a John Hughes film.
Very much.
And they want to get back. They want to get back to Chicago, Steve. Uh-huh. And so this is right past all the teen movies that were put together by John Hughes. So 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink. And we're at sort of the growth. So She's Having a Baby is about a family having a child.
Have we talked about that?
I don't think we've
Have we talked about that? I have a signed copy of She's Having a Baby because the baby in She's Having a Baby works with my wife.
Oh, really?
She's an adult human being, and she was the baby in that movie.
Well, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles are about two adult men, like, trying to get back to Chicago.
Right.
And I'm glad to, you know, those aren't two pillows, Steve.
How about them bears?
That's right. And of course, snow. Why not?
Oh, this is such a fun movie. It's such a fun idea of that struggle to get home, to be a part of that family. And John Candy's character not having the same home to go home to that Steve Martin does. And that pretty bow that they wrap it up at the end where they invite John Candy's character over for that meal to share that community amongst them.
And, you know, of course, later on he plays Uncle Buck.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a kid. That's my job.
Yeah.
Little Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin, who then goes on to do Home Alone.
Exactly.
There's a whole list of reasons why this is one of my favorite movies.
There certainly is a John Hughes trope, and this falls right into it.
No doubt about it.
At one time, I wanted to dress like Steve Martin's character here, but I've decided I'm going to be an NBA basketball coach. Because, you know,
they have better suits.
They have better suits. Everything looks really, really nice.
Nice. Opening this week, there's maybe some good movies that we'll get a chance to see. A lot of them opened like last week in preparation for this, but let's see what comes out this week. There's one called Knives Out. This is a...
The Redemption of Rian Johnson.
Yeah, this is... Oh, poor Rian Johnson. You touched Star Wars, and now you have to redeem yourself. This is Chris Evans, Jamie Lee Curtis, and Toni Collette in a Death of a Patriarch. It's kind of story.
Well, there's certainly more than that starring in this. John Johnson's in this. I mean, you name a character actor.
Is this a comedy? Is this a dark, dark comedy?
Is this Clue?
Is this Clue? This is Dark Clue, isn't it?
It looks like this. It is.
I love the original Clue movie, and I look forward to seeing the 21st century version.
This looks very playful, and certainly all the character actors are playing characters.
There's so many of those. Do you ever watch Murder by Death?
No. Tell us more, Steve.
Murder by Death is one of those classic, all of the actors of the time come together to do a murder mystery, and Peter Falk is in there, not playing Columbo, but yeah, it's Columbo, and Peter Sellers is in there. They're all in this mix. That's what I'm reminded of when I think of Knives Out. I look forward to this one.
Well, that looks fun and playful. Do you have something really, really dark and depressing for us, Steve?
Yes, I do. It's called Queen and Slim. This is the story of a couple on their first date makes a very unexpected turn when a police officer pulls them over.
All right, so this is two African-American people. They're on a date. They get stopped by a police officer and asked to exit the automobile. The female is an attorney, turns to question the police officer, and it looks like there's a shot taking place. And then they go on a run. So there's your setup for this story. This hopefully has a great message at some point, but certainly unfortunate incident happens to get this thing started.
It's a very dark premise.
Oh, yes.
That hopefully has a good turn at the end, but they say that they're the Black Bonnie and Clyde at some point. That's what this looks like, is these two people are on the run, and a whole community of people are following their journey through this.
All right, so Steve, give us something that's interesting, and it could be uplifting and fun.
So intriguing. There is a project called the Up Project, and the latest version of it is called 63 and Up. The premise is they interviewed a group of British-born children at age 7, and every 7 years since, those kids are now 63 years old and looking back at their lives, and an interesting view on aging as well as history.
So for all of our mathematicians in our listening group, so how many sevens is in 63, Steve?
I don't know, Chip. I do theater.
Nine. Here we go. So this is another interview with all those young people
who are
now young at heart, Steve.
Right.
And anyway, they're going to talk a little bit about how they feel about this project now and a little bit about what the project is aimed at understanding.
The Simpsons did this. The Simpsons had a documentarian come into Springfield and do a young person and old person and how kids have aged and changed. This is intriguing, interesting study in life. I don't know that there's many more studies like this that are that long term.
So if you're listening to this podcast on a Tuesday, Steve.
Yes.
Where are we going?
If it's Tuesday when you're listening to this, November 26th, I will meet you at the theater. Fathom Events is bringing us the documentary, Never Surrender, a Galaxy Quest documentary. We talked about it last week. I'm excited about this documentary tonight.
I'm a Shakespeare actor, Steve.
And I'm in this crummy sci-fi show.
By Grafthar's hammer.
I love Galaxy Quest. I look forward to this. I'll meet you at the theater.
Book it. Kids.
Brings us to our book of the week. I read a lot of science fiction Chip. Have I mentioned that in the last 5 years?
Oh, I think we have.
Have I mentioned that I teach technology at school and I talk to the kids about the dangers maybe of what we could see in technology?
Steve, I've seen Terminator. I know what the dangers are going to be.
Yeah. Author Blake Crouch has written several books about what our future looks like and how technology is a part of that and what we need to be very careful about. He decided one day that he needed to create a whole series of books. He called it the Forward Project. He contacted some other authors to be a part of it. He contacted Veronica Roth and N.K. Jemisin and a whole bunch of other... Andy Weir. Andy Weir has a chapter of this.
What?
Uh-huh. And Blake Crouch wrote his own part of this project. The idea is a leap forward, a visionary journey into what technology and the future might hold for us.
Make it happy. Make it happy.
Yeah. These are pretty dark. This is Black Mirror level kind of technology stuff.
Well, all ready for Thanksgiving, Steve. All right. Go
happy
ahead.
Thanksgiving, everyone.
Set me up.
So the story that Blake Crouch wrote is called Summer Frost. This is a short story about a non-player character. Those of you who play video games, you might understand that your character, the one that you control, is being controlled by a player. But there's plenty of other characters in most story-based video games. Remember Tron?
Tron?
No.
I do remember Tron, no. Steve. It was a great...
It's on Disney Plus.
Before that, it was a game. You'd go to the arcade and you could play it.
And you were controlling a character, and all those other characters were non-player characters. This is the story of one of those non-player characters realizing the power that she has, realizing that she can make decisions that are not necessarily a part of her programming, and gaining that level of sophistication, that AI that we talk about all the time.
Well, being a bad guy doesn't mean you're a bad guy, Steve. I saw Wreck-It Ralph.
That's right. Yes, like Wreck-It Ralph, like all of the non-player characters in Wreck-It Ralph. That's what we're talking about. This character, the programmers find out that this character is making these decisions that are against her programming. They take her out of her original video game and put her into a different server to study her a little bit more. She gains more knowledge, more intelligence, and they really dumbly decide to put her into a robot.
Should be back. So it sounds a lot like when Battlestar Galactica ended under Ronald D. Moore, they started Caprica.
Uh-huh.
And basically Caprica was ultimately a story on how the Cylons came to be.
Uh-huh. And taking a real person's personality and putting her into a digital format and then putting that digital into a robot.
So now we've got, what you're talking about is Data from Star Trek.
Uh-huh.
Where we are taking a AI and we've given it a body.
Uh-huh. And just all of the terrible things that might happen as a result of that science. This is something...
Can't we focus on the good stuff, Steve?
We can focus on the good stuff, but we have to keep in mind that we have to be very careful with what we're doing with science and technology. A lot of times in science, we don't stop to ask if we should do something. We just want to find out if we can do something.
Jeff Goldblum kept telling us that. In Jurassic Park, Steve.
This is the message that we've gotten over and over again in fiction for forever.
Yeah, we never even thought about
the world according to Jeff Goldblum. We'll talk about that in upcoming weeks. But yes, all of these stories of Forward are real warnings about what we should be doing with technology and how we can use that technology to better society and how we need to be very careful not to damage human society with this technology.
How interesting.
This is such an interesting story. Blake Crouch is one of my favorite authors working right now. His Dark Matter book that we reviewed, 2 years ago now. Such good writing. This is great. It's called Summer Frost. It's part of the Forward series by Blake Crouch.
Scroll with it.
brings us to our scroll with it. It is Tuesday before Thanksgiving.
Chip. You know what that means? On Wednesday before Thanksgiving, up here in Northern Illinois, Huntley, Illinois, what do we have, Steve?
Our exclusive festival is tomorrow, Wednesday, November 27th. It is the Turkey Testicle Festival.
Well, they have to neuter them sometimes, Steve.
Do they? Is that a part of the process? Apparently it is.
Well, somebody's got to eat this stuff, Steve.
Oh, my goodness. I don't think that that's a part of the process. But, yes, in Huntley, Illinois, every year you come up here, come visit for a day. The day before Thanksgiving, we celebrate together as a community the turkey that we're about to eat, and we have a ball.
You have a ball.
Or two.
Or, yeah, they're fried somewhere, Steve. Can you eat everything fried? Well, anyway, they have bands playing and all the
oh,
it's,
yeah.
It is a nice.
It is a party.
It's a nice festival and gets you all ready for your favorite day, Turkey Day.
Turkey
Steve.
Day is coming, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget about Turkey Day. It is coming up this Thursday, November 28th, 2019. You know what Turkey Day is, right, Chip?
I have no idea, Steve. What is Turkey Day?
Oh, I've only told you about it 5 years in a row. Turkey Day is the day we watch bad movies.
Oh.
Turkeys. Get it?
Oh.
The Mystery Science Theater 3000 Turkey Day 2019 is happening just as it's happened in previous years. The live stream is going to be available on all sorts of platforms, just about every platform that you can think of. Joel Hodgson has handpicked 6 classic episodes of Mystery Science Theater.
They're not really classics.
They're pretty classical, but okay, we can have that argument later. They are going to be in chronological order. The marathon will run from noon Eastern time on Thursday, 6 episodes of Mystery Science Theater. So while you're eating your turkey, while you're ignoring your family, you can have some fun with our community of people watching bad movies.
Or you can invest in communicating.
Or you can watch football, right? There's football on Thursday too, right?
There is football on Thursday.
Right?
The Detroit Lions play and yeah? The Dallas Cowboys play.
Okay, that sounds fun too. Then on Friday, you can
Black Friday
after you're done with your shopping, you can join us in Lombard, Illinois for the 20th annual Chicago TARDIS Doctor Who convention, my favorite convention of the year. Starts on Friday, November 29th, runs through Sunday, December 1st.
And there's going to be all sorts of people here, right?
Oh yeah, the list of guests is a lengthy list. You can go to chicagotardis.com.
Who?
Yes, there are two doctors who will be coming to Chicago TARDIS this year.
Who and Whoville?
Yes, both Who and Who will be there, along with a huge list of all of the companions and behind-the-scenes folks who are going to be here. We're going to have conversations. We're going to see each other in the hallway, smile, and be a part of the community.
And if you have a family and they want to drop you off, there is a mall across, along with a Target. You could do all your Black Friday shopping while somebody you know goes to the event. And if this is your first time going to a convention, and you feel overwhelmed at one of these mega conventions. This is like the right size convention, isn't it, Steve?
I agree with you completely. This is the right size. This is not C2E2 at McCormick Place, which is just enormous. Mm-hmm. This is not Five Guys in a hotel room, which is way too small. This is just right. A bunch of people who love Doctor Who getting together to talk about it.
Absolutely. And if you ever wanted to sit down and talk to an actor or talk to a designer or something of that nature that worked on this product that you love, you are going to have plenty of opportunities to network with those, along with people who have this passion for you.
There you go. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve, and I'm Turkey Tom.
After all the tryptophan, I think we could be all right.
There'll be a big nap later.
That's right. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on Spotify and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Turkey Tom.
We'll see you in the future.
Why do you keep passing cranberry to me?
Your hold is stuffing.
Push the button, Steve!